You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world, so your salt and your light. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. And instead, they put it on its stand, and it gets light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Somebody look at your neighbor at every campus, say, let your light shine. Look at your second choice, the one you're trying to avoid. Say, let your light shine. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise, translation I grew up on says, and glorify your Father in heaven. In the same way that salt is to be salty and light is to give light, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, that it may be visible, and praise your Father in heaven. Let's get into the word today. Tammy and I went on vacation in the month of June, and then we also went on a trip. Trips are with the kids, vacation is without the kids. That's how you delineate the two. If you didn't know that, parents, that's how you delineate the two. We went on a trip with the kids as a family, went on a vacation, just us celebrating our anniversary. But on the trip, we were at the beach because I like the sun. I like going to the beach. I like looking at the beach. I don't like to get in the ocean. Sand gets all up in you everywhere. I like sitting at the pool that looks over the beach to the ocean so I can hear the waves while I'm in the pool. Come on, somebody. Anybody with me? That's what I ain't all about getting to. I'm on vacation. And so we were all in it. We're like the Clampets when we go on vacation now because we have four children. That's a lot. There's six of us. And so we got lots of luggage. We have one whole luggage of baby food now. Baby food and diapers and wipes. One whole piece of luggage for that kid. He's 8 months. He has his own luggage for food. And we had three packing plays, because two for the room, one for Abigail, one for Jonas, then a beach packing play. And I don't know if y'all know they have these. Beach packing play just for the baby. We had two carts at the airport, you know, that you load luggage up on. One so high that you couldn't see Owen when he was pushing it. Like, if you were in front of it, I don't know how you made it through. But so we're going through. We finally get there. And Jonas wasn't sleeping through the night at that time. But thanks to God, favor of God, the prayers of God's people, fasting, intercession, Benadryl. He's sleeping through the night now. I'm just kidding. I didn't give him any. If you work for DHS, I'm joking. But we finally got him sleeping through the night, but he wasn't at that point. And so I was like, any noise, you know, I was threatening my older children with death if you're loud and you wake up your brother. But any kind of noise, I was like going to wake up the baby. And so anyways, we're in the room. And in our room, where Jonas was with us in our room, kids were in another room. And there's a vent there where the AC was going, which is pretty important when you're in a very hot location. But the vent was making noise. I didn't hear it during the day, but I heard it at night, right? And how many of you know whenever you wake up in the middle of the night, like 2:30, because a baby's screaming at you? Because our son does not cry. He goes Mach 3 like this, straight to scream. So you're half asleep, and all of a sudden, y'all with me? You're like awake, and you're like half asleep, half awake. And at that moment, if I'm honest, you're like half saved, half non-Christian. All right. You're also spiritual. It's great. It's awesome. It's awesome. We have a routine. I get him up, change the diaper, make the bottle, give him to Tammy. He feeds him. I put him back down, lay him down, get him to sleep. So we got him back asleep. And I hear this vent, and it's like rattling right where the AC comes out. And I thought in my mind in the middle of the night, well, I'll prop a chair against the wall. And these chairs had a back to it. I'll stand on the back of the chair against the wall, because you know you can't lean. You got to lean against the wall. And I'll try to get a butter knife out of the kitchen and see if I can't tighten this thing and see if that's the problem. Then I thought I could fall, break my leg, and I want to enjoy vacation. This is like day two. So I went to the bathroom and got a towel. And I took the towel, and the vent was high. These high ceilings, probably like 10-foot ceilings. The towel, the vent was high. So this Tammy told me after this, she's like, I kind of woke up wondering what you were doing. So I took the towel and I started hitting the vent. Because how many of you know, like, if stuff don't work, if you hit it or kick it or throw a hammer at it, sometimes it'll work. So it's like 2:30, I'm half asleep, and I'm just whacking this vent with a towel because I'm so frustrated that the thing, some of y'all thought I had a towel because you thought I was really going to preach today. Like, No, I need an illustration. I can do that, though, if you need me to. Not today. We got to go buy food. So I was so frustrated because I would hit it, and it would stop for a second. I would lay down, and then I'd hear it again. I'd get up. I'd grab the towel. I kept it by the bed. I would whack that thing again, hoping I didn't wake up the baby, because then I was going to rip the vent off the wall. Y'all follow me? Because I was so stinking frustrated with this vent in the middle of the night. And finally, I laid there, and I finally fell back asleep after, it was probably a half hour, 45 minutes of me getting up, whacking the vent, laying back down, getting up, whacking the vent, laying back down. Then I wouldn't hear it at all. How many of you know that everything is intensified? Your hearing like goes up in the middle of the night. And I was thinking about this sometimes, like this can describe our lives sometimes, that we can get so frustrated with some things in our life, right? Frustrated that this relationship isn't moving in the direction we want. Frustrated that the business we're running isn't going the way we want. Frustrated that our kids aren't acting the way. Frustrated that the finances aren't falling in place the way they hope. Frustrated that we're still dealing with guilt and shame and dealing with issues and feeling like we're taking two steps forward and then three steps back. I know you are so spiritual, but sometimes I feel like in my faith journey, like I really made some progress and then I really fell like slid back down the hill in some areas. And here's what I think we do in those moments, that instead of like really listening for a moment, we just start whacking. Come on, somebody. If I could just be richer, then maybe that would fix it. And maybe if I could just manipulate the relationship, maybe that would fix it. Maybe if I was skinnier, that would fix it. Maybe if I was prettier, that would fix it. Maybe if I could just get them to see my perspective. Maybe if I could just finish this project, then I'll be the dad I want. Or maybe if I just would bite my tongue more, I wouldn't be so angry with everybody in the house and outbursting, whatever it is. And we're just, it's like we're in the middle of the night just whacking at the problems in our life with a towel, and can I tell you, the towel can't fix the vent. And here's why I think we do that. It's because at the core of our being, what we want is fulfillment. And you may use a different word. Maybe it's satisfaction. Fulfillment actually means being satisfied. Or maybe contentment would be the word. Or maybe life moving in the direction you want. Or maybe you would say, I just want peace in my home. Or maybe you would do whatever the word you would be. I think at the core of it is that we want some fulfillment. And when we're not fulfilled, we're frustrated. And what happened to me that night is the more I tried to fix the problem, the more frustrated I got with the problem. And I got frustrated with my frustration. And the more frustrated I got, the more I hit it. And finally, I quit. And I laid down, and I just said, that's the way it is. And here's what many of us do. We get so frustrated with our frustration because we can't find the fulfillment we want. We just quit. So instead of actually getting the right tools to fix the vent, we just walk out of the marriage. Well, I'm not in love anymore. No, maybe you're just tired of swinging a towel at a vent. Well, I guess I'm just going to always deal with this kind of shame and regret thing. No, you don't have to always deal with it. Whom the Son sets free can be free indeed. Well, I guess I'm never just going to get this faith thing correct. I guess I'll always just feel like I'm failing it. No, you don't have to live that way. See, I want to propose to you this. That frustration isn't your enemy, it could be your friend. That maybe, just maybe, if you'd consider this for a moment, that the frustration you're feeling shouldn't lead you to swinging a towel, that just maybe the frustration you're feeling should work like a check engine light on the dashboard of your life, going, what is causing the frustration? Maybe you should let frustration be a teacher and a guide instead of just trying to fix it yourself. Maybe it should signal to you something under the hood isn't operating correctly. Maybe something isn't operating the way that it's supposed to operate. And so I'm frustrated because I'm doing life in a way that I was never designed to do it. Just maybe frustration is a teacher. Just maybe frustration is a friend that could lead you to fulfillment if you listen to it. And see, I believe at the end of the day, the place that you really find fulfillment, are y'all with me? The place you really find fulfillment in life is when you are living according to why God purposed you to be on the planet. Why God created you to be on the planet. Why God formed you. And anytime you are operating outside of that, listen to me, you will live frustrated. And you will live unfulfilled. And the next contract that will bring the pay will not be enough. Eventually, it won't fulfill you. It may for a moment. I mean, it feels great. Good work. Impressive. Amazing. I'm not against it. But if that's what's supposed to bring fulfillment, it just won't. And the next experience, the next trip, the next purchase, the upgraded car, the latest phone, I'm not against all that. I'm an early adopter. I mean, I don't camp out for anything. I'm not against that. But if you're expecting that to do the thing, it never will. Only when you're living out the purpose for which God put you on the planet will you find fulfillment. And here's what I found. If you'll pursue that purpose, all these other things. Jesus said it this way. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these other things that you spend all your time will be added to you as well. So what does it mean to live out your purpose? Well, I think we find it in the text that I read to you. In Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says that you are the salt of the earth. If you're with me, say amen. You're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. It's not what you do, it is the essence of who you are. If you're here in one of our locations online, then you've said yes to Jesus. I'm not saying you live a perfect life, but you've said yes to the perfect one. If you said yes to him, the essence of who you are, your identity is that you are the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. So what does it look like to find my purpose? Number one is this. If you're a note taker, write this down. If you're not, write it down. Number one is this. You were made to make a difference. You were made to make a difference. I know you've heard me say that 1,000 times, and I'm going to keep saying it until we all get it. You were made to make a difference. Like literally God formed you, created you, molded you. Psalms 139 said, in your mother's womb, he crafted you together to make a difference. To make a difference. Salt was a very important ingredient in this time, this culture. Salt and light were really important things. Salt was used as something to bring flavor to food. It was also used to be a preservative. It was a cleansing agent. I read one place that said salt helped the lamps, this is interesting, last longer. I don't know how, but that's what scholars say. Anytime you don't know, you just say, scholars say. No, I really did read it from a scholar. And so number one, they add flavor. Salt adds flavor. You know this, right? And you put, you know this, right? Yeah. If you didn't know it, salt will make a baked potato taste good. Salt can make broccoli taste good. And butter helps it go to another level. You know what I'm saying? But salt adds flavor. Whatever you put it on, it adds flavor. And so as believers, the Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. In other words, that whenever we come into an environment, whenever we go into our work, whenever we go into our communities, whatever it is that we're the salt, in other words, we should bring flavor into the community. I would propose this, that sin has made the world taste very bland. And that God sends us into the earth as flavor. And here's the deal, is each of you have a unique flavor. That each of you, because of your life experience and because of what you've gone through and because of your perspective and because of your gift and your skill set, you all have a very unique flavor that the world needs, that the community needs. Some of you are like Chipotle seasoning and a little spice, and the world needs a little, hello, the world needs a little spice, right? Some of you are sweet and nice and you bring a little sugar seasoning to it. Are y'all with me? I've been gone for a month and my church is gone. Where's it at? But God, the world needs the flavor that you bring. And it says that we're the light of the world. That's right. And it said that as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, as salt, whenever it loses its saltiness, it is not good for anything. It's to be trampled under feet. Here's what the text is saying is that for salt not to be salty is unnatural. And for a light to be put under a bowl is unnatural. Here's what God is saying to us. For us not to be salty in the community, to add flavor into the world that we walk into, and for us not to go into a room and light it up with the light of Christ is unnatural for a believer. So here's the deal. You will forever live frustrated, and it will play out in the different areas of your life, in your relationships, in your finances, in your pursuit, in your career. You will forever live frustrated and never reach full fulfillment, because when that is the pursuit of your life and not the kingdom of God the pursuit of your life, you are living unnatural to how God created you. You are living, hello somebody, you are living outside the purpose that God made you for. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Not only does salt add flavor, but salt also preserves. In other words, when you serve, whenever you're salty, Christians should be a little salty. Whenever you are salt into the earth, you know what? You preserve some things. Who knows by what you do where hope wasn't preserved in somebody's heart yesterday? Over the weekend, just because green shirts showed up, maybe they were at the end of their rope thinking God had forgotten about them, that people had forgotten about them, and this convoy of green shirts show up and hope was preserved. Who knows that faith wasn't preserved in somebody's life? Who knows that maybe a marriage wasn't preserved because of what you did? You were made to make a difference. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You are meant. When salt hits food, it makes it different. When light enters a dark room, it makes it different. These little lamps that they would have in their homes, I've seen them in artifacts in a museum in Israel. They're these little clay things, and they got a little handle on them. Not like a handle you can get your hand around, but like a little high tea handle, like, you know what I'm saying? Like little round. And then they look like a little, Aladdin, like I Dream of Genie kind of thing, but they're clay. Come on, old school. Y'all know I Dream of Genie? Y'all know nothing about I Dream of Genie. And they have a little lid and a little spout, and then they pour the oil in there, and then the light is on the end of it, and they'd walk it around. And what it's saying is that no one, because they didn't have electricity, these were necessities of life. No one would put that in their house and put it, no, they'd put it up on a stand so it would give light to everybody around them. So no one would cover it up. In other words, why would you cover up your light in a world where your light is a necessity? Why would you hold back your salt when in this world your salt is a necessity for them to live? Are you following me? So you're made to make a difference. You're made to make a difference. And can I tell you something else on the back end, this little extra? Is that when you are salt, not only does it flavor somebody else's life, but it flavors your life. Because see, you were not only made to make a difference, you were made to give unconditionally. You were made to give unconditionally. I'm not just talking about financial resources. I'm talking about give of yourself, of your life. Give of your encouragement. Give of hope. Give. Are you following me? You're called to give unconditionally. I don't understand Christians that go, I'll give, but... Oh, y'all don't want to talk about this? Come on, I'll give, but I'm going to put some parameters on it. Yeah. Like, salt doesn't go, after you put it on your food, it doesn't go, what about me? Yeah. You going to put a plaque up in my name? I never see Jesus give to someone and go, what are you going to do with that? I'm not talking about, we vet organizations that we partner with to make sure that they're stewarding it well. I'm talking about giving to people, loving on people. Well, I'll give if they do something back for me. No, I give unconditionally. I don't give with strings attached. I don't give. That's not the nature of God. I don't give with expectations. A light doesn't light up a room and go, I hope they really celebrate me. Are you following me? You lighting up a room isn't even about you bringing the light. It's about you pointing to the light, who is the light of the world. Are you following me? But we're to give unconditionally, not with strings attached, not with I'll give, but I don't know how they're going to spend it. It's not up to you how they're going to spend it. Are y'all with me? It's not up to you what's going to happen on the other end. Your responsibility is not how the gift is received or how the gift is used. Your responsibility is to be the giver of the gift. You won't stand before God one day and give an account of how every gift you give was used by the other person. You will get before God and give an account of how you gave. Were you obedient to give the gift? Were you obedient to speak the word of encouragement? To give a poor person some food or some clothing? Did you give them shoes? Did you step up and give into life? Our responsibility is to give unconditionally. Our responsibility isn't to be the giving police. Hello, somebody. That's not our job. It's not our job to walk around and go, well, can I take it a step further? Your job isn't to give, but before you do, make sure, do you agree with everything I agree with? Can't give to them. They're Democrats. Won't be generous to them. They watch Fox News, probably Republican. And I visit all over campuses. It's getting very uncomfortable at Fredericksburg. People are squirming now. Don't know if I'm going to give to them. They're on the other side of the tracks. Different color than me. We don't give based on that. You give unconditionally. I ain't giving to them. They could get a job. Y'all want me to go back on vacation. They could work. They could work. They could get off the government assistance. I ain't going to give to them. That's not your call. Your call is to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Your call is to love people. Your call is to be generous. Your call is to touch hurting people. Your job is to show up when people need you to show up and love them, see their life change, heart transformed. That isn't your job. Your job isn't to say, I'll give if they agree with me. I'll give if they look like me. Aren't you thankful that Jesus came and the song I grew up on said red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't go, I just came to the Jews. No, he's saying I came to the Greeks and I came to the whole wide world. Are you following me? It's our job is to love unconditionally. We don't want to leave people where they are. But we're not making judgments on where they are about whether or not we'll love them. We see a need, we meet the need unconditionally. I don't know if I'm going to go buy macaroni and cheese today. There may be people that show up at the food bank that don't really need it. Not your call. Get the mac and cheese, give it unconditionally, and keep your mouth closed. All right, we're made to make a difference. We're made to give unconditionally. And we're made to show Jesus. At the end of the day, the reason we all do this is to show Jesus. The text says, in the same way, just like salt is meant to be salty, just like light is meant to illuminate a room, in the same way, let your light so shine before men. Just as a lamp would let its light up a room to everyone in the room, the benefit of everyone. The lamp doesn't light and go, nope, not shining light on that person. Just like it benefits everybody in the room, let your light so shine before men so they may see your good deeds. They may see your good deeds. Not so they pat you on the back. Not so they pat LifePoint on the back. But so that they would give glory or praise to our Father in heaven. See, the whole point of us serving is that they would see that beyond the ramp, that their wheelchair can go down is some people that are crazy in love with Jesus. And that when they receive a hygiene kit, they would experience the love of Jesus. And whenever they get some clothes on their back where they didn't have clothes before, that they would experience Jesus in that. And so that whenever they get some food where they didn't have food, that they'd get some Jesus. And so when some kids get some backpacks with school supplies and they don't have to walk into school embarrassed on the first day, they would know that Jesus loves them. And so we show up as the hands and feet of Jesus, so people will see Jesus. See, here's the deal. We don't walk around swinging a towel. Jesus calls us to pick up a towel and serve the needs of others. And in that, you will find fulfillment. In that, you will find purpose. So you got a choice. You can live your life swinging a towel, trying to find fulfillment. Or like our Savior with his disciples, you can pick up a towel, get down, and wash the feet of broken, hurting humanity and show them what Jesus looks like. See, we're not just doing social good. We're doing social good for eternal reward. We're meeting the needs of people. We're not just filling a belly. We're doing it in the name of Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? You gave me shelter and you gave me something to eat. And they said, Jesus, when did we do this for you? And he said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it as unto me. And you can spend your life swinging at things, trying to fix it. Or you can pick up that same towel and decide to be a servant. And in serving others, you'll find fulfillment. See, here's the deal. Listen to me. You can have success without ever serving anybody. But you cannot have significance unless you serve others. And success is great. I'm not against it. We've had a lot of success here. But once you taste significance, you'll never want to go back to success again. Yesterday morning, we were here with our small group and our family, and we were packing hygiene kits, and I was talking to so many people, and they were like, man, this is so fun. Man, this is, I met people I didn't know. We were high-fiving. We were having, you know what they're saying? I feel so fulfilled. I just feel so much joy. Because here's the deal. When you give, God will give back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The frustration you're feeling in some areas of your life, you know what the answer may be? It may be for you to serve others. And in serving others, God begins to do something in you. I know it seems upside down and backwards to the way the world thinks, but the kingdom of God is upside down and backwards to the ways of the world. And so the thing you've been striving for, maybe you'd stop striving, start serving. And you'd find that's where you find it. Let frustration lead you to fulfillment. It's the check engine light. Because you were made for something more. You were made to make a difference. You were made to give unconditionally. You were made to show them Jesus. And when we do, the world's better, lives are changed, and eternity is impacted. When we started the church 14 years ago, I had a dream that we would start a church that if we closed our doors, the community would take notice. Because I'm convinced a lot of churches could shut their doors and no one would ever know. And we do that by getting outside the walls of the church, not just coming to church, but being the church. And so today we have an opportunity to do that. Have an opportunity to make a difference. Everybody can make a difference. Whatever you got planned after this, it can wait a few minutes. And you're like, I can't buy a whole lot. Well, do what you can. Give what you can. Give it without strings attached. Make a difference. Can I tell you something? The food banks in our area, they've told us they depend on this day. You know what? If we shut down, the community would notice. So today you have an awesome opportunity to make a difference, to do more together, thousands of people doing more together than any of us could on our own. And through that, we're going to show them Jesus. Not only the people on the receiving end of the food, but we get stories every year. When all these people came, showed up in the grocery store, when all of these hundreds and thousands of people showed up, people around going, what are y'all doing? Begin to tell them, showing them Jesus. People at a cash register, why are y'all here? Showing them Jesus. Everywhere you touch, you'll be showing people Jesus. They may see your good deeds. Glorify your Father who is in heaven.